Amen. Our text for this morning's message, as I said before, is from that first reading from the book of Acts. When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles God has granted repentance that leads to life." Dear friends in Christ. Yeah, you just don't do it. You don't willingly allow a stray dog to crash your wedding. Because the dog would be dirty, right? Who knows where it was at? It might even be vicious. It might bite. No, of course, I've never heard in all my 20 years of ministry, I've never heard of a couple listing a stray dog on their wedding invitation list. Yet in October of 2017, a stray dog actually did crash a wedding. A couple was getting married in Brazil. They planned an outdoor ceremony, but what had happened is a storm had forced them under the shelter of a tent. Unfortunately for the guests, the storm also brought a dog. Now, they tried to shoo him away, but the dog was persistent. He didn't want to be out in that rain any more than anybody else did. And every time he came right back. And then the third time he came back in, he did the unthinkable. The bride had this beautiful veil, and it was one of those really long veils, you know, that trail behind her. The dog plopped right down on that veil. Right down on the veil. And then he went to sleep. And you know what? The bride just left him there. Now that dog, of course, wasn't the only dog who crashed a wedding. Let's talk about that today using this theme that salvation extends to all people, even to the Gentiles. So let's kind of talk a little bit about that. Who were the dogs in this? Well, those are the Gentiles, of course. The Jews had a lot of other names for the Gentiles, including the heathen, the loathsome, the abominations, the outsiders. You kind of get the picture of how the Jewish felt about those who weren't Jewish. There wasn't much love between these two peoples. That's why the word concerning the Gentiles that Peter had a vision, that he had gone to the home of a Roman centurion, a Roman, an occupier even, whose name was Cornelius, that Peter had actually preached Christ and that they too had received and believed the word of God. That's why that word was so shocking to them. This meant that they could be a part of the wedding feast of Jesus and his bride, the church, that they could be part of the church itself. Now, let's face it, it really shouldn't have been all that surprising, though. Remember what God had actually said to Abram when he changed his name. He said, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations." Shouldn't have been that surprising that the word of God and that the gospel was for all. Then, of course, there's that parable that Jesus taught. There's about the wedding feast. Remember that the king invited all of the wedding feast. Those who were invited, they wouldn't come. the Jews who had been invited to the wedding feast. And what did the king do? Well, Jesus explains. He says, "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests." The wedding hall was filled, even with Gentiles of all people. Those stray, unclean dogs. This is probably what those Jewish people were thinking about. No wonder Peter was criticized. He said, you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. It was like Jesus, they were saying, you ate with them, Peter. Don't you know you don't do that? Don't you know that you might become like them? Don't you know that they are Gentiles and we are Jews? But the fact of the matter is, God did indeed include them. The Gentiles were on the guest list. There was room in heaven for them. There's an old joke. You may have heard it before. A man had died and he'd gone to heaven, and he was there in heaven. And Saint Peter takes him to this house with many rooms. You know where Jesus says, "In my house are many rooms." And they're walking by, and he goes by one room, and he sees a big party going on in there. And he says, "Well, what is that?" He goes, "Oh, those are the Baptists. They couldn't drink or anything when they were on earth. So they're having a party while they're here in heaven." And he goes on a little bit further, and there's another room, and there's a big party going on in the earth. He goes, "Well, who's that?" He goes, "Those are the Assemblies of God. They couldn't do anything while they were here on earth, so they're having a big party in heaven." They go by the next door. They're going still going down the hall. They're going by the next door, and St. Peter goes, "Shh," and they tiptoe by the door. They keep going on. The guy says, "What was that door?" He goes, "Those are the Lutherans. They think they're the only ones here." There's room in heaven even for the Gentiles. Peter had to do some explaining. First, he told him about his vision, about the carpet coming down, or the blanket coming down, and God telling him to take and eat, and that nothing that he says is clean would ever be unclean. Then he gave the evidence from the word of Jesus. And you know what? They were finally convinced. Now they allowed for the dog. Our text explains, they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Now this news was epic. It actually shook up the whole Christian world back then, and it really should shake up yours and mine. Because the Bible says in Galatians 3, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Then again in Romans chapter 10, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The message is clear. Christ died for all. The sins of the whole world were nailed to that cross when he died there. There it is. I mean, there is no distinction. There is no us or them. There's no exclusive club. It doesn't matter where the person is from. It doesn't matter what they like or don't like, who they're related to, who they're not related to. To God, salvation is open to everyone, to all. And for those people back then, that meant big things, huge things. No matter where you, and that means big things to us as well. No matter where we grow up. I mean, I went to Florida State, the Seminoles, okay? What this whole thing means is that there could even be Florida Gators in heaven. It can happen. What about here? It means the gospel reaches across the Tehachapi Mountains, the Sierra Nevadas, even across the Pacific Ocean, across the Rockies. It goes everywhere. The gospel is for everyone. It means, of course, that there won't be just Lutherans in heaven either. There's lots of Gentiles all around us. I mean, think about it. You see them every day. They're your neighbors, your co-workers, your classmates. They might be those who attend a different church that doesn't believe in Christ as their Savior, that seems to think that somehow they have to earn their way into heaven. Maybe there are people that just don't attend church at all. There are those that you could never imagine that could be absolutely within 10 feet of heaven. So what would God have us do with these Gentiles that are around us? Gentiles, I'm saying in quotes. What would God have us do? Well, it's really simple. Love them. Just love them. Love them because they too could be fellow believers in Christ. And if they're not, guess what? Love them anyway. They might just repent. You never know. Now, it's not saying we have to embrace what they believe. We don't even have to hold hands and sing kumbaya with them, okay? But we can treat them like we would want to be treated. After all, doesn't the Bible actually make a promise about them too? Remember the verse I quoted with the kids? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what God says to us. And that leads us back, of course, to that story about the wedding crasher at the beginning. You probably want to know, as Paul Harvey used to put it, the rest of the story. How does it end? Well, the story goes, the dog came and then he went. The reception went on as planned. The couple was a little sad, actually, to see the dog disappear. But a few days later, they found him. And then they cleaned him up. They adopted him. And they named him Snoop. Who would have thought? Then again, who would ever have thought that the Lord would find you and me? He would clean us up through the waters of holy baptism. That he would adopt us into his family. Who would have thought that the Lord would give us a place at his table? Who would have thought that he would have in his heart love for us, a bunch of stray dogs? who would ever have thought that he would die for you and for me? But he did. And you know, there's plenty of room. There's a lot more, not more room up there for more. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always.